We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome 8:06 on the Bob Rose Show. Time check brought to you by Prestige Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. President Trump threatens a government shutdown. The U.S. Secretary of Treasury, though, says, hey, he doesn't see any reason why we won't have at least 3% growth for 4 to 5 years. So there's really some good news. And then good news, we've got a local guy in here. Yep, State Senator Keith Perry in the House from District 8. And welcome, Keith. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me in.
Hey, I do want to make sure I clarify this because some listeners and I was confused. The law that got passed that had to do with Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in South Florida, raising the age for long guns for folks in Florida to 21, used to be 18, for long guns we're talking about. Okay, that law changes it. And on the air, you said that it's the same as what Texas has, and I looked it up everywhere, and it's not to be found. That's, I believe, not to be the case, that Texas has a law. Texas says all long guns, you have to be 18.
Yeah. Well, if I got that wrong, I got it wrong. I got that from somebody else, and we tried, because what I heard was Texas, and I'm going to verify this, that Texas, to buy a shotgun or rim-fired, you could be 18. In the centerfire, long guns, you had to be 21. That's what I was told.
You're going to owe me a hamburger before it's all over. Okay?
I may do that. And that's the amendment. We had an amendment. Senator Simmons and myself had an amendment to be filed right for that bill. We tried to get that. And what it did was exclude rimfire and shotguns. And that, you know, that was something that we tried to get done. We couldn't. We're going to go back next session and try to work on that again.
How are we going to pay for the rest of that law, even though a lot of it makes sense, and you're going to have school resource officers, and you got the Guardian program, and you've got more mental health care and things like that, but how are we going to pay for all this?
Well, it was funded. For the most part, we funded all the mental health. The school resource officer, which I think would have been fully funded by the state if the school system would have chosen to take the Guardian program instead of sworn law enforcement officers. So if you look at the cost, the guy that retired that did not go into the school, I think he's making $8,000 a month or something like that to retire. I was in Jenkins Middle School in Palatka about a month ago. I met two African-American guys that were retired military. They're being paid a small amount of money by the federal government because of the Title I school that they're in. Those guys would have been eligible if they had gone through the active shooter training through the Sheriff's Department, become certified through them. They would have been eligible to carry at a cost of about $25,000 or $30,000 a year versus a cost of over $100,000 a year. So Alachua County School Board didn't even explore that option. They said, no, we're not going to do it. They didn't even look at it. And I was a little disappointed. They didn't even have a good discussion or debate about that. But those are the kind, and these guys that I met with, they're in the hallways. They're interacting with the kids on a regular basis, being involved in their lives. They also could have been the Guardian as well.
Well, the Guardian program, to my understanding, they would be employees of the school or the school district, but yet the local sheriff would be held accountable for them, and there's a disconnect.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, there's,
that came from Billy Woods, the Marion County Sheriff. Well, we had to talk about it.
Yeah, well, the disconnect, certainly they're not direct employees, but their training goes through them. So, I mean, I don't know what you call a disconnect. Certainly they're not sworn law enforcement, and we didn't want sworn law enforcement as the only option.
From a liability perspective, it would be the sheriff who would be held accountable.
Well, that's certainly something to debate.
Yet he wasn't in charge of the hiring. You see how that could be.
Yeah, all the sheriff is responsible is to do the training and provide that training that he does now for his own sworn law enforcement. The only difference is the emphasis is only on active shooter.
Man, you got beat up in the Gainesville Sun. Nathan Crabb apparently is no pal of yours. And I just want to give you a chance to defend yourself on some of this stuff. He says that you were meeting with the folks at the school in Hawthorne And you wanted to keep it open. You said you wanted to keep it open, but you supported legislation that harms public education and makes it easier to close schools like it. Is that true?
Well, he's partly true. He certainly doesn't tell the whole story at all. He's selective in that. You know, what we did is we looked at their schools. So Hawthorne Middle and High School has been a failing school for multiple years. Think about this. Think about you as a parent and a child that are zoned for an area. You don't have the resources. You're not going to go to a private school in Gainesville from Hawthorne. That's your only choice. We have kids that have enrolled in a school that's a failing school, and they go through that their entire life with no chance of anything else except for to go attend a failing school. So we looked at that. It was a lot of debate, and what we said is, hey, look, we're going to take these schools, and we are going to give these schools special attention, $2,000 per student extra funding. We're going to give them other areas, but they have to improve. I mean, we're not going to give them extra money and then years later just let them continue to fail. So we gave them a time to change. We gave them some flexibility. And if you look at Hawthorne High School, and I don't know what their grade is, they may be a B school this year for the last year, a B. Even if they're a C, I mean, they've been D's nest for 6 or 7 or 8 years.
So you can say there's been an improvement, and you want to take at least partial credit for the fact that you lobbied and legislated for additional funding, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't sit by and say, well, here's a failing school, and we don't like that it's failing, but don't do it. Don't take any positive action toward change. And you have to put some pressure. You have to make some accountability. But we did the accountability with extra funding. And that extra funding and the resources has allowed Hawthorne High School, and I met the principal out there. This is a remarkable young man. I call him young. I think he's probably about 40. But incredible guy that's been a turnaround. You talk about a grind. You talk about a job that this guy has put forth. But they've done it. And it happened because of resources. And Nathan Grab and Matt Cerency, the mayor out at Hawthorne, called me out, attacked me for this, and you know, I don't know what Matt Cerency's, what his options were. I don't know any plan that he put forward to change that school except for get the community involved. And the great that we have the community involved, and that was good. But you have to have the resources there, and you have to have accountability, and that's what we did.
Going back to the op-ed piece, says the online ad focus on issues that typically aren't high priorities for a candidate for state office, much less a Republican one. They include homelessness, roads, and traffic. I just wondered how responsible a state senator in Tallahassee is responsible for roads and traffic on a local level.
You notice the traffic only got bad when I got elected in Alachua County in Gainesville, and that's because of me. I mean,
that explains it.
Yeah, I'm the one has Tourette syndrome driving through Gainesville at the traffic all the time. No, this is the thing I've been pushing, and again, this is just cheap shots. And you can read the front of his article. He talks about the Democrats need to take this seat in order to take over the Senate. And so and the fact that Nathan Crabb, unfortunately, kind of goes away from journalism into just these, I don't know, he just picks topics and kind of
He's the editor. It's an opinion. It's an opinion type piece. But generally, with an opinion type piece that you're attacking somebody, you want to have some facts to back it up. I mean, you know, he might want to include that, you know, it wasn't the state's fault that Main Street got divided and didn't get funded by the state because it was the city of Gainesville that decided to make it a local road.
No, and you know, this is what drives me crazy in Gainesville. First, it's a quality of life issue and a cost of living as well. You know, I have a lot of service guys out there. When they drive to your home, instead of taking 10 or 15 minutes, it takes 30 or 40 minutes one way. I got to charge somebody for that.
Right.
And so I have to charge you to go to your house. We have limited time. We're all busy, and we're stuck in traffic in this town. And the comprehensive land use plan of Alachua County talks about traffic congestion is acceptable. Mm-hmm. It's okay if it drives other forms of transportation. This is a thing that the city and county have been pushing for years and years to make traffic bad for you and I, and then Nathan comes out and says it's my fault. This is the other thing. The state of Florida has money. DOT has money for Gainesville and Alachua County, but you have to ask for it, and they never ask for it. Can you believe that? That we have money to do our roads, to make our roads better, and they never ask for it.
Wow. That's a bombshell right there. I don't know if everybody knows that. State Senator Keith Perry, we want you to stick around. We still have plenty more questions. We want to find out why it's also your fault, all the homelessness, that issue, too.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that and more coming up on the Bob Rose Show. It's 8:16, and you're tuned to News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Don't go anywhere. A22 on the Bob Rose Show. Time check brought to you by Prestige Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. And part two, as we continue talking to State Senator Keith Perry. He is in the House. And Keith, Nathan Crabb, in his op-ed piece against you, I mean, he beat you up there pretty good. He blames you for homelessness. What that can be a local issue. That could be a state issue. That could be a federal issue. What do you say about that?
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's to talk to people and their lack of understanding, and apparently Nathan's up too, of homelessness and the cost of living and the cost of housing, both in the city of Gainesville, state of Florida, nationwide. It's the number one increase in the last 30 years adjusted for inflation. Homes, building. And that also goes along with shopping centers and everything else that we build too, is construction in general. And so his answer, apparently, is the Sadowski Fund, which is a $200 million fund of taxpayer money. It says, hey, we're going to give this to solve homelessness. $200 million, 20 million people in the state of Florida is $10 a person. It's not the answer, and it doesn't even address the question. The question needs to be asked, which and the problem is the government regulatory environment that can add $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 per home. To the car, you know, and so if you look at that, that's where the focus needs to be, and that's what I've been working on. So he attacks me for not supporting growth management, but it's really not what it is. It's looking at what is the regulatory environment that does not allow people to build affordable housing.
Yeah, the more regulations you put on the builder, he doesn't have a magic checkbook. He's got to pass it along to the person who's going to purchase the home.
Well, if you have $40,000 to $50,000 per home,
right,
in regulatory cost, and that's not the land, that's not the concrete, that's not the trusses, that is the regulatory. You have $40,000 to $50,000. You're not going to sell a house for $125,000, $150,000. Yeah, you can't. You start off. Well, you'd start off in the hole on every home. So you have to sell houses $250,000 on up to even start to break even. And so the direction the builders would build houses for $125,000 all day long. If they could do it for the cost, because the market's there, and they would do it for the market, and it's just, you know, it's just either ignorance or disingenuous for them to talk about the problem as somehow magic wand. If you had the Sadowski fund, and money does get swept from that, and I wish it wouldn't, and I think trust funds should be set up. If you're going to have a trust fund, spend it for where it is, and I've got no problem with making sure that we spend trust fund money where it's supposed to be spent.
What about jobs? Because wouldn't that help the homeless problem if those people were working in area businesses and working in construction jobs, as you know alluded to with the home building? If the regulations were rolled back, I mean, they would have jobs. But wouldn't that help to alleviate the homeless problem?
It would, absolutely. And Gainesville, again, Gainesville, Alachua County has one of the biggest disproportionate rates of have and have nots. And it has a lot to do with what kind of job opportunities we are. If you're, you know, in healthcare, great. If you're in some other fields, great. But if you're in blue-collar work, you know, you better move out of Gainesville. You better move out of Alachua County if you want an opportunity.
All right. In Tallahassee, what are some of the things that you're working on that you think are priorities, especially for this area, for District 8?
Well, the thing that we've done every single year, we've got about 4,000 regulations. So we're doing the opposite of what might be getting done locally here. We are cutting regulations that are redundant, unnecessary, antiquated regulations. Taxes, every single year, we've cut taxes. And almost the overwhelming majority of those have gone either to individuals or the very smallest companies. So we're doing that. Think about this. We've cut, in 8 years I've been there, $10 billion. If you look at recurring dollars that come in, $10 billion in 8 years of tax reduction. At that same time, we have an increase in our base revenue of $20 billion. We've paid back state debt of almost $9 billion, and we have $3.5 billion in reserves. And I tell you, that's to me, and I've said this before, this is a moral issue. People, politicians who spend money they don't have, it is immoral for the next generation to put that debt and that burden upon them. federal government, we've seen that overwhelmingly. We see that in a lot of states. The state of Florida has been on a consistent trend to reverse that, and we've done that in a big way, and it has huge impacts. Not to pay the debt on that $8 billion or so, $9 billion that's been paid back. You're talking about real dollars, and you're talking about not burdening the next generation.
Tell me about health care in the state of Florida. That's one that's always been a tough one when it comes to expanding Medicaid. That can come with tremendous costs. What's going on in Tallahassee?
Well, you see that every year. Medicaid is the largest every year, year after year, is the biggest increase in cost for state government. Medicaid alone takes almost a third of the state budget, just Medicaid. For 3.5 million people, and I've said this before, this is what I don't understand. You and I would never accept Medicaid for you and I or for our family. We would never say it's good enough. And yet we take that program that is one of the worst as far as health delivery, the health care that comes from it, one of the most expensive and one of the most worst in health care. And we would never say that, but we have other politicians saying, let's just expand
this. They want to expand it.
Make it bigger.
Yeah.
I meet people all the time. I meet people with disabilities. They have a child with disabilities that can't get average care, can't get good quality care. They have problems all the time, wait times, all the other things. And so we don't even take care of the kids, the disabled, and the elderly that it's designed for. Yet people just say, hey, let's expand it. I mean, if these people ran a business, they'd run it out of business in about a week with their emotional thought, with no research, no understanding of economics.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Nathan Crabb, they call him the Gainesville Sun's opinion and engagement editor. And I guess he was upset that the amount of money that your campaign has raised. And he said, don't let them get away with spending big to change the subject when isn't that what the Democrats do all the time as a rule?
Well, they use taxpayer money.
Oh, okay. Versus giving directly to a campaign and supporting a candidate.
Yeah, it's a free market. Yeah.
Very, very good. All right. State Senator Keith Perry, we appreciate your time very much on the air. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. Hopefully we'll see you again soon. It's 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got a lot more coming up. Let's see. The Pope admits illegal immigration. Maybe it is linked to some bad things like prostitution. We'll talk about that and more coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.